Yeah, there is also a possibility over here that he was in a, there is a very big danger in overestimating what he did. People always overestimate what they do. And you're like, they look, and they underestimate what the other person did. That's the way it is. And you do something to somebody. In this case, you've got to be realistic about what you did. There wasn't just this creating an opening. It's creating an opening.
Yeah,
but it might be more appropriate to wait 3 days and think it over and analyze that the best thing you have going is that you may see into his self-interest in the future. So then, what is perhaps the story of ended is 3 days later when the news came, Yossi was there, she got over him, gave him a truck, wish you the best. You know what I mean? I hope you succeed. And that's it. And now to fire, yeah, that would have been fine. That would have been a different resolution. Don't not ask for anything. And then he believed in his association with Yosef would always be a very strong one, not tainted one. And then in his own mind, as he proceeds up the ladder, then also a person doesn't like to feel beholden. Nobody likes to feel beholden to somebody else. They don't like to feel beholden. You see, so if you put it in the frame of the payback, then you're dealing with a lot of other factors, negative emotions come into the picture. He goes, what did he do for me? So he interpreted the dream, so what? I mean, really, what did you think? He got me out of jail. Then you're already affecting his ego. You're saying, I was your benefactor, and you know what you do for me. That's a distortion of the realities over here. That's not always good. That's not good in this situation. You're the weak one. He doesn't need you anymore. That's very nice when you might need me in the future, but he doesn't need you anymore. All these things he could have thought about. And then he would have come to a conclusion that my best bet is to leave a very strong impression. And then I'm saying, then I'll say my faith in God. I can't. There's no guarantee. No one's saying that there's a guarantee in that position. That's the mistake we're making. We're assuming that the other way would guarantee him getting out of there. No. But he has to do the rational thing would have been to go over and not to ask for anything anytime. And then he would have said, this is an unbelievable person, because the average person would have asked me for a favor. Everybody's coming to me with favors all the time because I'm in a high position. This guy didn't even ask me for a favor. This must be a real guy. He's a guy I would like to have on my team. That's a different question. And possibly the worst thing that he did was also to ask for the favor, which means that I'm entitled to it. To return the favor. It seems small, but it's not the most effective tool. And it's not, you have nothing, because it's very easy, it's very easy for him then to say, okay, I don't do it. You're depending on him. A lot of times, he didn't even try, but a lot of times, you know, these things happen. The point is, the story does show, that he had a dream, but the possibility that the Tzar HaMashkin would want to recommend him for some task because he respected his ability, that's what he should have relied on. But he sabotaged that. He sabotaged that because he already told him negative. Once he has negative, that he's not going to recommend him anymore. What? That means he could have thought of it before he made the request. He could have thought about it. He knew that he'd be around. I'm just saying that he knew that the guy would be in jail for another 3 days. That means that he had access to him for 3 days. So he wasn't forced to make the request like that. He could have thought over. You see, there was no thinking over. It was instinctive. Kim Khatani was instinctive. As soon as he interpreted, he instinctively made the request. He didn't think it over. Why couldn't he stop and think it over and analyze the situation? He failed to engage in analysis. Because was a totally different situation. She was in a position where she could ask for compassion. She was in a position of power. She was the wife. But even she didn't just take things for granted. She planned it out very carefully. She didn't overestimate. There you see the contrast. She took 3 days, and she did not overestimate her position with the king, where the average person would say, it's clear how much love he's demonstrated for her. That she was the most... Yeah. What? Yeah. Okay. But that's a good point, that she did not overestimate her position, and she, in spite of everything, all you would think, the average person would think, that, all I have to do is ask her. He'll do anything for me. And she was very smart. She understood. She understood that it's not so fussy. And you just can't assume that a person, she even did not even assume that he wouldn't kill him. That law, that you can't go on and out, and he'll kill him. Who would think it would apply to Esther? And you see subsequently that he did the opposite. But she didn't overestimate herself. She acted with a total understanding of all the factors. Man is very complex. And you can't rely on any particular emotion, and you should never overestimate yourself, and you should never overestimate any relationship. People change. I've seen people that have changed. In other words, you see that in families, you know, marriages and love, and you can never imagine how they would ever have any other type of feeling towards each other, and then these same people want to kill each other. When Yosef says to that's a good way to introduce the statement. He introduces that because it's a good introduction. Because he wants the opportunity to interpret the dream. And the other one, he's not spreading. He's not saying that I'm agreeing with him. Oh, yeah, I agree. I'm agreeing. He can't, jump in. He says, okay, the situation is so big. God has, in other words, like indirect. He gives him the opportunity to decide if he wants to present him with the dream. But basically, okay, so he asks for the suffering already. It's a very it's a respectful way. It's not that it just so happens that in the world God has endowed certain people with certain abilities, and that's it. He didn't want to hear because that's a good point. He's caught in a situation where he's got hit with his illustration. Then he can't be too humble. He's got to promote himself, otherwise why would he tell him the dream? He has a perfect illustration. And how to go about it. So if he's too humble, he won't tell him the dream. On the other hand, if he brags, it's not a good thing. But he said it nicely, how a little kind of thrown. But I don't, that's very nice. I don't think there's a phenomenon. There are people in the world who just have these God-given abilities. It's not true, no. That's it. That means that humbleness, that I have a talent, I just recognize I have a talent, but it doesn't come from me, something does. He's not still making any sort of statement about that he relies on God. I don't think that that's relative. That had anything to do with the I don't think the Tzar Mashkin thought this through consciously. In other words, again, I think you have to realize that he left an impression with the Tzar Mashkin, which was not conducive. He left the impression that he left with him was not conducive. Therefore, the Zachar, but you have to say, in other words, why is the person to get something? Why is the person to get something? Because it's annoying, you know. You carry. Sometimes a person makes a request of you, and it's not something pleasant. You don't even bother with it, so you don't remember it. At first, you don't remember it. You put it aside. I mean, I would say the Tzar, it wasn't completely without effect. I wouldn't say the Tzar Mashkin wasn't troubled by it. I would say the Tzar, because it says below Zachar, it's the chayot, it was a process. Right. I mean, he may have thought about it. This guy, obviously, he's so grateful. And he may have thought about it for the other reasons, that maybe I'll get something out of it. But in his association with Yosef was not one that he would want to recommend. He didn't want to be bothered by this need to have to intervene. He didn't want to have to intervene for him. So therefore, they used to say it. You see? Because the Lord Zachar was one thing. The Lord Zachar would mean that he didn't take it up immediately. Okay? He didn't take it up immediately. Because it might have been imprudent of Yosef to think that he just got out, I said before, he just got out of jail, why did you want to make way? That's the last thing you want to do. Right? Put yourself in this position. Thank God I'm back in my position. Now I'm making further requests of power. Well, that doesn't make sense. Politically, it wouldn't make sense. So that's what Zachar meet me out. Yeah, but then, in the back of his mind, he'll wait for the opportunity when things calm down. He's back in good graces. No, but it's okay because he had a negative. He left a negative impression that he's not going to bring him up. He's not the guy I want. He's not a guy until a situation arose where he really saw a benefit and no harm to himself. There was no harm to himself in this case. Then he remembered.
An ad hoc discussion over a question at the end of Vayechi. Rather at the beginning of Vayechi. Take a look at the beginning of Vayechi. You don't have to go through the first part where where Yaakov is Mashpia Yosef, he caused him to take an oath that he would bury him in the Maris Machpelah. Then you have the, after that, that's taken care of. Alright, he gives the explanation as to why he didn't bury his mother there, and that's dealt with. Okay, that issue is taken care of. Then you have the next thing is the subject of the brachos that he gives to Menashe and Ephraim. That begins on Pasuk Ches. Okay, so let's go through it. Vayar Yisrael es b'nei Yosef vayomer mi'ela. And Yisrael saw the sons of Yosef and he said, who are these? That's interesting, because you'd imagine he would know, unless he couldn't see that well, but other than that, it's hard to understand that he wouldn't recognize his own grandsons. Seems from this that he didn't know his own grandson. That's not the problem, though, that Marshall did. By Yomer Yosef Alavim, and Yosef said to his father, Banayim, they're my sons, Hashem Nathan Li Elokim Bazeh, God gave to me. Interesting, Bazeh. Right, Bazeh means here, in this situation. Rashi takes Herolo Shtar Erison, Shtar Ksuba, Ubike Yosef Rachman Aladala. The Nachal of Ruach HaKodesh. That's funny, Rashi. Right, that he showed him Shtar Erison, Shtar Ksuba, and Yosef requested mercy for the matter.
Which matter?
Yeah, what did it look like?
Before,
Ari Yisrael is B'nai Yosef, so Rashi says, Bikesh Levarchem, V'nisalka Shechina Mimeno. He sought to bless them, and the Shechina departed from him. That happens also, by the way, when he wanted to tell him about the Achmas Hayom, Legal of the Kate, Nistal Kishchina. Lefisha also Yerubim the Achav Lotes Me Ephraim, because Yerubim and Achav were destined to come out of Ephraim. The Yehu Van of Menashe, and Yehu and his sons from Menashe. So these are basically Rishayim. Would bring tremendous harm to Klal Yisrael. That's not the claim. I mean, that's Medrash. It's Medrash. So, I mean, along that line, he followed that line. So, one second, Bazeh. So, what is that? So, when you catch... Vayomer mi'elo. I'm sorry. Vayomer mi'elo. Mehechon yotu elu she'enem ru'i lebracha. From whence did these come that are not fit for bracha? This is a fascinating thing in its own right. Hechen yatzu elu. From whence did these come that are not fit? So first he's saying they're not fit for bracha. And then it turns out in the end that he gives them a bracha. So that itself is a big problem. Okay. So according to the way Rashi would have it, because he's taking the mi'ela, well, at least he's taking the mi'ela. It's not a fit, literally, that he doesn't know who they are. The mi'ela means has a deeper implication. You know, what's the story with these kids? There's something wrong here. So therefore, Yosef understood this, and Yosef retorted with Bazeh. That's why, I mean, it's all based. I mean, these ideas have a root in the pasuk, because the word Bazeh is a strange way of saying here. Right? So Bazeh, really, Bazeh, with this. Herolosh Dareres and Rishtar Ksuba. Ubikesh Yosef Rachma Adama. Venachal Abroch HaKadosh. So that completes, that's the answer. That resolved the issue. Of course, the whole thing is extremely difficult. Okay? What are the questions? How would you analyze this? Any way of saying it, I mean, Banayim, that's enough. What is the definition? Not only Elokim Bazeh. That itself is superfluous. You know, it sounds very pious. You know, it's like Baruch Hashem, you know, like we how pious do you have to be? I mean, you can't just say, these are my children. That obviously it's quite obvious where he had them. That itself, a lot of this stuff is unnecessary. Where else did he have them? He was sold as a slave, and he's been in Egypt the whole time. Obviously, it was right. It was here. And what do you mean God gave them to me? What does he mean? Why is he telling that? Is it just Tom that that's the way that the tzaddik talks? A tzaddik never refers to something which is natural in an ordinary way. That God gave me. No person would really say that, right?
No,
if he's right, Lebrach. I mean, what are you going to trace every shave it now? I mean,
not the only, they weren't the only Rishonim in Jewish history. There were others. Sorry?
After
even Manashach, if they're royal bracha, they're royal bracha. And the next, and everything flows from that, right? Okay? But then, if on the other hand you're going to say that, for whatever reason, we don't know what it is now, but let's assume that is a big absolved, possible bracha, right? That's the Stalka Shechina. So then, so then you shouldn't have brought a blessing. That is the fact. Yeah. That's that, Yosef seems to resolve it. The resolution. How does he resolve it? By showing him Shtar Ksuba and Shtar Harrison. Right? By showing them Shtar Ksuba and Shtar Harrison and Bikesh Rachman. And then the Shekhinah returns and everything's okay. I mean, it doesn't... Where's the resolution? Nothing has changed. You have the same situation as you had before because he was Mavakesh Rachman. It's very difficult. Very difficult. You can even ask more questions than... Then you have Vayomim, you see Rashi, the way Rashi has it worked out according to that whole, this is the underlying problem. Then Vayomim Mi'ela, Mehechen Yatu Elo, I mean, who cares? What's the difference? What difference does it make where they came from? That seems to be the whole issue now, is where they come from. The marriage is good, Nishka. What's the difference? Why would that be the issue?
We don't know if he doesn't allow them to be involved with the burial.
Why would that be the issue? Okay. Then it says that, Yaakov's eyes were weak, couldn't see, so he brought them to him and he kissed them and he hugged them. And Yaakov said to Yosef, I wasn't even follow to see your face, and behold, God has shown me also your children. Okay, so Yosef brought them forth from his knees. I guess they were sort of clinging to Yosef, and he bowed down to him towards the ground. Now, Yosef took the both of them. This is the part that Marshall's concerned about. He took Ephraim on his right, which was to the left of Yaakov, and Menashe on his left, which was the right of Yaakov. Menashe was the Bechor. So therefore, the Bechor, he wanted a place to the right of Yaakov, because he came first. His blessing was supposed to be, I suppose, superior. Now you know the famous, reaction. Vayishlach Yisrael Hashemino. Yaakov crosses over his hand. And he places his right hand on the head of Ephraim, who was the younger one, and the left hand on the head of Menashe, who was the other one. He changed his hands. Vayishlach with Chachma. Was done with Chachma Rashi. Okay. Because Menashe was the Bechor. Okay. Vayivarach is Yosef. Then he blessed Yosef. And he said, Elokim, Asher Zalchu Avos Lefano Avram Yisrach. Halokim ara osi miodi ad yom hazeh. Okay. Hamalach ago alos mi kol roi yivarach zan or. Vikar vem shmi v'shem avosai. Avraham v'yitzchak v'yid gularov v'kerev oros. Okay. Then vayar Yosef ki yoshis aviv yad yimino al rosh Ephraim vayir beina v'yismach aviv. Excuse me, Yismach yad aviv v'lohasir osamei al rosh Ephraim al rosh b'menashe. So then all of a sudden Yosef doesn't like what's happening. He sees that he even thinks Yaakov has made a mistake here. He switched the hands, and he takes his hand to switch it back. Okay, and what does it say? Vayom Yosef alav lochein avi kizeh abchor simyamin charosha. So he tries to correct him. Vayimayin avi. Apparently Yosef may have thought he was making a mistake, whatever. And but then he sees that he refused. Vayom yadati ben yadati. I know. Okay, so and then he proceeds to place. He says, "I'm doing this. I know what I'm doing." And he's also great, but he's greater. So in other words, in short, Ephraim is the younger one, but he's greater, and he's going to get the first bracha. Okay. Now, anything troubling here in the order of things? Marshall's. It's a legitimate question. He's saying, why did Yosef hesitate? There's a hesitation over here. The timing. Yosef thought that Yaakov was wrong, was making a mistake, whatever, and he intervened. He should have intervened immediately. But first he allows him to utter a bracha. I mean, it's sort of like the bracha seems to be coming in two phases. I mean, first he utters a bracha, Then, after uttering the bracha with his hands the wrong way, according to Yosef, then Yosef tries to switch the hands. Then Yaakov corrects him, and then he proceeds to give this, I guess, the second part of the bracha, or he continues. It's not flowing smoothly over here. It's not. That's the question. The question is that it's not flowing smoothly. And basically, if Yosef, again, if you want to put it the Manav Shachway, if Yosef objected, he should have objected immediately. Why did he wait? Why did he wait until he finished part one of the bracha, or whatever it is that he said? You know, that statement of Amalach HaGoalosi, etc. Why did he only intervene afterwards? That seems to be at the beginning of the bracha. That was the beginning of the bracha. And, that's the question. He should have intervened immediately. Now, let's be a little bit, I guess, intellectually compassionate over here, or whatever, that's the term. Let's be reasonable. Let's be intellectually reasonable. At this stage of the game, it may not be possible to answer everything so smoothly in every particular, but maybe we can have a general opening. And that's good, that's something, that's a step. Now, yes, the thing is like this. The premise of the question was, I mean, underneath the entire thing, it seems to be a manav shach. I mean, you can't give the bracha. We don't know why. I mean, you can't give the bracha because these people are going to come from them, right? We asked that kasha, fine. But assuming that that's the case, then what does the Shtar Erisin have to do with it? Why does he change his mind? Now, the premise of that is false. The premise is false. The premise is not that if the person is roi lebracha, he's roi lebracha, he's right to be one of the shiftei ka. That doesn't mean to say that there's a guarantee that from every generation they're all going to be tzaddikim. That's an impossibility. If that's the case, we would never have a golos, so we'd all be perfect. Right? But in terms of establishing the system, just like you had by the avos, in order to be one of the avos, you had to have the proper qualities, the proper qualifications. So you had Yishmael. He didn't have the qualifications. He had to be sent away. Goresh. He couldn't be in the same line. He would claim that he was the legitimate heir. And, you know, with Esav too. I mean, you have to have the proper qualities. That doesn't mean that everyone who comes from Yaakov is going to be perfect, obviously. But nevertheless, in establishing a system, the leaders of the system, the avos, have to have certain qualities of perfection in order to be avos. And the shiftei ko also. In order to assume the role of a shevet, the leader of a shevet, you have to have certain perfection. You have to be at a certain level. Okay? Now, his intention was to establish. In fact, this is something I'm not going to take up. Why that's the case? Why, instead of Yosef being the head of the shevet, why it's split up into Ephraim and Manasseh? That division. But whatever the case is, that was the intention of Yaakov. But then Yaakov was cognizant of certain problems here. You know, let's take it literally that he saw. I mean, literally that he saw Achav, whatever. That's not really that important. Whether it's literally or he saw that problems in the future. So you'll say, so what's the difference? I mean, he could have looked through everyone. He would have found there was enough evil later on to be spread amongst all the Shvatim. The answer is, I think, Max hit it on the head. The question always arises: what is the source of that evil? Do you see that even in the brachas itself? Where do you see a raya in the brachas? In the brachas itself, that Yaakov makes this very point. Right. Al teichad feldi. What's the exact expression? Al rabim piyaz. Right. The ever piyaz. The ever gashaza. The ever says what? He says this is not. What is the thing? In other words, he refers to certain future events. Ma'aseh Zimri, right? That was Shifto Shel Shimon, right? To bring the Midianites, to say Moshe. There, so they sinned too, right? So you have the same problem. Well, how could he give them a bracha? They're going to be involved in that chait, right? But no, he says, don't mention, don't associate, I don't want to be associated with that. And that's what it says in the Al Yiskar, right? Miyatirlach, right? Al Yiskar Shmi Bedava. Don't mention my name. Shinema Zimri Ben Solo Nasi Nasi Beis Av L'Shimoni V'lo Kasa Ben Yaakov.
not back to Yaakov. Don't mention. What do you mean?
Yeah, but back to
say that's later. A kasha.
Disassociating himself.
This is really a kasha. Now that
relax. Just relax. Okay. Al teicha kvodi is the same thing, right? Al yishyachid imam shmei, same thing. He doesn't want his name to be associated with it. All right, that's the idea, huh?
Same idea. He says that's a result of their personal bechira.
Yeah. Don't trace that back to me. In other words, that's not a. That is not a, that it has nothing to do with me. That's not a, that's not an imperfection in me. That's their own bechira. And now the only thing is that phenomenon did not render. You see, it doesn't mean that it was the cause of Levi either. By the way, I mean Levi was fit. Doesn't mean he's pointing out certain things. You have to understand what the brachos. What the purpose of the brachos is. I mean, the purpose of the brachos is not just good things, it's pointing out certain defects to be on guard against. You see? But the point of it, I'm just trying to make this one point. I'm just using this to make a point that there's two possibilities in a situation. There's a possibility that the person himself has a defect that renders him unfit, because that's going to be carried on down the line. So therefore, that disqualifies him. See? Well, I'm just using the example of Yaakov to show you that idea that we have to raise the issue that this problem that arises over here, does it go all the way back, or does it originate with the person himself? That's a key issue. That's what Yaakov is making clear. This originates with him, doesn't originate with me. It doesn't have any bearing. It doesn't mean that Levi's unfit to be a tribe. That's your kasha. That's not the problem. That's not the case. But you do see that concept. That would reinforce, you see, that reinforces the pshat. That when he saw the future, he was bothered, he was troubled. He's talking, he couldn't go on. He could not go on, he had to ask Akasha. This is a very important thing. Where does this come from? You see? Now, is this a case where it originates with them? Or this is a case where there's a problem in the whole marriage, because the marriage, Yosef was separated. Yosef was in a strange situation. He was in Mitzrayim. I mean, he wasn't in control of the situation. You know, who knows why? I mean, he was forced into the marriage with political factors. He doesn't. I mean, that was the whole problem. So it could be, or you know, who knows what happened to Yosef the entire time? I mean, this could have been something which was a mistake of his. The marriage could have been a mistake. He could, and therefore he chose somebody and bad qualities are transmitted, and this is not they're not fit for bracha. I can't give him a bracha. They're not royal bracha because of this. That's the kasha. That's what bothered him. And there Yosef, that's what he said, mi'ela, according to Rashi. Mi'ela is more. It's not simply like tell me who they are. Like Miela, tell me something about them. I have to know more information. I have to have more information. And that's why Yosef convinced him that it was done. Boy, I think he says Asher Nasan Elokim Bo Zeh. That it wasn't that
this was improper.
Yeah, because what Banayim, they're my sons. That's enough. Asher Nasan Elokim Bo Zeh. This wasn't just, I didn't just go crazy and say, I had to get married, so I just married anyone. No, she nothing like Kimba does. It was worked out very carefully. Everything was worked out carefully. It was done kahogan. I checked into the situation and it was kahogan. That's what it means. I agree with Max. He's just stuck. So it wasn't done rashly. Suva, Aris, everything was done properly. And Bigesh Rachman, I mean, he wanted, he saw that there was a danger, that they would lose the bracha. So, I mean, he wanted to, see, he was a spalo. And that's when Yaakov then v'nachal Hashem. Means to say that Yaakov at that point was convinced that there was no defect, there was no psul in terms of the marriage itself, in terms of the people themselves, and therefore they are roi lebracha. They're roi lebracha. And the fact that, you see, the fact that in the future Rishonim would come from them doesn't disqualify them, because if that's the case, you can't give anybody a bracha. That's all, that's the whole, that's the, Rachman always means, the way Rachman always means,
like Hashem Elokim, you know, Midas Adin, Midas Rachmim. Rachmim is always when you have to, it's not the perfect situation. In other words, it wasn't the ideal situation. Yosef's marriage was not in the ideal situation because he was in Mitzrayim, and it wasn't like the other Banim who had more control over the situation. So this was not the ideal situation. So he was Bigashal of Rachmim that he should not approach it purely from the framework of the ideal. If Yaakov was operating purely from the ideal, then he'd it was a little problematical over here. So Bigashal of Rachmim that accept the fact that I did the best that I could in this situation, and there's no psul. That's why I say Bigashal of Rachmim, because sometimes a person doesn't want to deal with on the level of Rachmim. Sometimes he wants to, like, in life, you know, like, you want to run a situation, a yeshiva, this, that, you want to deal with, and the other person saying, he has an argument, I know it's not ideal, but it's still going to work. So, Bikesh Rachman, because the person doesn't always, he may not want to establish the brachos on that basis, in that framework. That's why maybe Bikesh or Rachman. And then Venachal Ashvin, he accepted it. Yosef said that first, before Yosef apparently anticipated that there'd be an issue over here. He said, Shanasam before Yaakov even questioned. He understood that he'd have to defend. Yosef was coming in an unusual situation because Yosef would have to, in a sense, defend his children and his marriage.
Correct,
that's in response to Mi'ela. Okay, fine. It fits in terms of the pasuk. So you see that in the Mi'ela, Yosef himself in his answer, you see, Ashenosna Lekimbaz, and it's not just the word bazeh. That's why you see that the medrash is based upon the psukim, because those words are superfluous. And the bazeh is a funny word, but it's part of the phrase, Ashenosna Lekimbaz. So he's, that's basically, I believe, he felt the need to defend, you know, the legitimacy, so to speak.
Right.
The legitimacy of the children, yeah. He basically, Rai Chait, I'll just say it now. Rai Chait was saying from this that you see from this that he really didn't spend too much time with his grandchildren. The Yaakovina was completely more involved in the world of metaphysics, in the abstract, and didn't hang around. I mean, all of his dealings were basically with a purpose. So he didn't, because otherwise, if he hung out with them, he would have recognized them. That's what he wants to say.
So
Max is saying, given that fits in, given that he did not have this personal contact, had he had personal contact, he would have known their characters. Given that he did not have this personal contact, and given that he wasn't convinced, he didn't really know enough about the marriage of Yosef. See, if I also you see that he didn't, like Rachel mentioned last Sunday, that they didn't, this almighty, he didn't communicate information unless it was necessary. He didn't look into it until now was the time. Yaakov apparently didn't interrogate him about the marriage and all these issues. They weren't necessary, but now they became necessary.
Right. Same thing with the thing that...
Now it became necessary to know who, what's the story? What's the story about these children? That's what Yaakov wanted to know. And that would be the... that would make sense out of these midrashim. In other words, the suspicion of Yaakov, the fear of Yaakov, was grounded in reality. Yosef was pressured. It says that Paro gave him the wife. Well, what do you mean? He's going to marry an idolatrous because of what's going on here? And then these are going to be the children who are going to be part of they actually took the role of Shiftei Kah. So it must be that, yes, there was pressures, but Yosef looked into it, and Yosef was able to work it out. He gave with Averson, he must have won her over. He had to win her over to the true ideas. Obviously, he won her over to the true ideas. So there was Ksuba, there was Averson, there was Dan Kahogan. He was able to do it. Had he not been able to do it, he wouldn't have been, I don't know what he would have done. I mean, how he would have solved the political problem. But you do see that this marriage was based upon a strong political pressure. Getting back now to Marshall's question, that at which point does Yosef intervene to switch the hands? So I hear what Max is saying. But what gave Yosef the cue at this point to move in now? What was that? There was, take a look at the pasuk. It's an interesting thing. I think it's correct. But let me again spell it out in general. What Max is saying, I think, is like this: is that there were two kinds of bracha over here. One bracha was a general bracha, And that's why it says it's bracha of Yosef. And that is that the style of bracha, that the children should be successful. I mean, you know, successful and fulfill their purpose and so, a general kind of a bracha. Okay? Now, that's why it says, Vayivarech es Yosef. Because that was a bracha to Yosef, that he should succeed in all of his endeavors, which he did succeed, and now the last issue is that his children should be successful, should continue and carry on. I would say at this point, Yosef did not, forget about the Rashis and all that, I mean, that's Medrash, I mean, but Yosef didn't know on the overt level that they are going, that a new development is occurring over here, that you're going to, a split, that Yosef would not be the Shevet, but the Shevet of Yosef, the Shevet of Yosef would now become two Shvatim, Ephraim and Manasseh. So in terms of just a general bracha, it didn't matter to Yosef that he placed, he saw that he had greater, if it was just a general bracha, that didn't matter, he would not have switched the hands. You follow what I'm talking about? In other words, if he was not making them into Shvatim, but just not giving a bracha that they should succeed in their lives and become the Chachamim and whatever, that he wouldn't have placed the hand. What's the difference? So what? But when he said these words, and I just thought of it, this morning, and I could be wrong. The Kari Vahem Shemi V'Shem Avosai Avram V'Yitzchak, what does that mean? Kriya Shem. That, I think, means that he intends to render them into separate entities. Because each Shevet is the one who carried on the name of Yaakov. Yikar Vahem. See? That means that these are the Shifteka. One second. When Yosef realized what was happening, that he is going to give them a bracha now, and to establish them, to give them a place amongst the Shvatim, then he says, it's a mistake. In terms of the Shvatim, that's an issue of who's placement, who's first, who's bigger, who's greater. That's a different type of a bracha now. Giving them their designation and their place, each that's the bracha especially, each Shevet has a role to play, has a designation and a function and so forth. In terms of the Ummah. Then, when he realized this is, it's not a generalized bracha, but it's a specific establishment of Shvatim, then he said it's wrong. Because it should go according to, like, Reuben was supposed to be the Bechor too. Because he's the Bechor. He should be. Alright, so Yaakov has to explain. You see that Yaakov has to explain why Reuben Pachas Kamayim Al Tosar. You lost the Bechor, you lost it. So Yosef was saying that he's the older one. He should get the Kedima. You're making a mistake. He didn't realize. Well, then he said, Yadati B'ni Yadati. That the halacha is, you're right. General Bechor comes first, Kedima, but that's overridden by other factors. And therefore he explained to him why, and then he was content with it. You see? That's why I'm saying that he did not intervene at the beginning. Because at the beginning it was just one kind of a bracha. And that, as you see, it says, Vayivarech es Yosef. It was essentially blessing the children in the framework of blessing the father. Like your father just had a child, and he come and you give him a bracha, your children should be Talmid Chachamim, they should be Matzei Torah, etc. It's a blessing to the father. That's one thing. But then the Yikarvem, I'm going out, I don't know if anyone learns this, but I'm saying the Yikarvem Shmi, the Yikarvem Shmi, you see, is more. That's an indication that they're going to be. He's making them into Shvatim, separate units. If that's the case, then when Yosef hears that, and it's no longer, then the next bracha is for them. The first bracha was a bracha for Yosef, and there. The bracha is chal on them, but the kiyum is really in Yosef. It takes effect in them, but the subject of the bracha is Yosef. The object is the banim. It's really a bracha of Yosef. The second one is a bracha of them, but Torah's shvatim. That's when Yosef realized that's going to happen. Then he intervened. Right. You're right. The fact.
That's
the yeah, Jeff is correct. The facts. You're right. The facts were told to him. Right. That's clear. He informs them of his intention. Okay. I'm wrong.
He was just confused that the two were together.
He informs them about his intention. Right. But I would say like this, that the answer still remains. Alright, so Yosef knew that, but the first bracha was not that bracha. It's only... The first bracha was a different bracha. Was a bracha of Yosef. The second one, where it was designation, That's when Yosef intervenes. But not that I'm wrong. That's not the point at which he discovered it. That's wrong. He had discovered it before. He informed them. Okay? But there were two brachas over there. There were two brachas. And it wasn't essential for the first bracha. Because it didn't make any... In that respect... And in fact, in that respect, it may have been correct. You see? In that respect, in other words, they had dual roles in terms of their lives as individuals and children of Yosef. So then it may have been appropriate to put the right hand on the greater one. That has nothing to do with Bechara. You see, in that framework, it was fine. It didn't bother him. But when he came to the part where there'd be the designation, that, he said, was wrong. That's a different arena. That's an objective phenomenon in terms of their purpose and their role in Klal Yisrael. Then you don't go by these factors. Yeah, I take that back. I'm wrong. I had forgotten about the previous pasuk. That's why I said it. Well, I said, I'm wrong, I take that back. That part is wrong. That was not the giveaway. He knew that from before. But the first bracha was a different bracha. And when it can be Yigularo Bekara for Aret, completes that bracha. That's Birkas Yosef. That's Birkas Yosef. When Birkas Yosef is completed, he knew that the bracha was completed at that point. Okay? Then Yosef, and then Yosef realized that the next bracha would be the one to them. That's the order. First he... That's what he intervened. So I take that back, that the Vikar of Shmi is the cue. I just thought of that quickly and I'd forgotten the previous plan.